We're always told, like, get rid of anything that you have duplicates of, or maybe that doesn't fit. But our bodies, many of us fluctuate throughout the month, right? And sometimes a lot.
And it's like, yes, you have a size, but it's more of a range. And like, it doesn't need to be like, you only wear jeans in this size.
I mean, if we've learned nothing from Daisy, it's that sizing is bullshit.
You're listening to Burnt Toast. I'm Virginia Soul-Smith.
I'm Corinne Fay.
And today we have Daisy here because we are doing a very special Burnt Toast episode. Daisy is here to help us launch the Unflattering Burnt Toast Style Challenge. So Daisy, why don't you introduce yourself to anyone who's not already a Daisy fan, which I hope is not very many people.
Yeah, I'm Daisy. I'm an anti-diet and weight-inclusive personal stylist. Virginia is a client and also my biggest fan, and I appreciate that. I help my client examine the fashion rules that they've been told to follow and examine the origins of those messages they've been giving so they can process them and let them go. What that translates to in a logistical sense is I help them define their style, edit their wardrobe, and then I teach them how to shop, and I also do shopping for them.
And it is low-key life-changing, for sure.
So I think the origin of this idea for us was that earlier this year, we saw some people doing a 75 hard style challenge, which was started by Mandy of Old Loser in Brooklyn. And for us, this sparked some curiosity about doing a style challenge, but we also had questions about whether that would feel useful to us and whether it might feel too restrictive or like a diet. And I think we were all wanting to do something similar, but wanting it to feel a little bit more like being able to listen to ourselves, like hear how clothing and style felt on our bodies, maybe feel a little more like style autonomy than like a challenge or a diet per se.
I love that phrase, style autonomy.
We want this to be a tool for listening to yourself and not listening to an external source. And that's where it feels a little bit diety when we talk about a style challenge, because there can be so many restrictions. And they are restrictions that are imposed on you from some external source that doesn't know your needs or your preferences or, you know, kind of how things will work for you. So we really want this to be something that you make work for you.
Have you guys done style challenges in the past that ended up feeling either just restrictive or even like full-on diety to you?
Yeah, so I think the first style challenge I ever did was Courtney Carver's Project 333, which was a really big thing to do, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago in the minimalist community, and it was all over social media. And that was 33 items for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I did not like that challenge. It felt very restrictive. You had to choose your 33 items at the beginning of the 3 months, and you couldn't change any of your choices along the way. It felt like a lot of pressure on choosing those things. And also the 33 items I want to add included shoes and accessories.
No. Wow.
Yeah. So it was really tight. And also the 3 months was no shopping as well. So each of those things individually is like a really strict restriction. Mm-hmm. And then doing all of it, it wasn't workable for me. It was too long. It was too strict on the rules. Yeah, I just don't like things that have that many rules.
I did 33 items. I think I only did it for 30 days. And now I'm trying to decide if that's because I quit or if I misunderstood the challenge. But I know even 30 days was like impossible. It was so hard. What about you, Corinne?
I'm actually not sure I ever did one. I remember looking at a bunch. They were also like kind of a capsule edit thing. I feel like it was like 10 or 20 items and it was for a shorter period of time. And also it's like you kind of do that if you're traveling anyways. Like how is this different from just packing a suitcase? But yeah, I don't think I ever actually like got the organizational executive function together to do it.
Yeah, well, actually, that's a really good point. And I wonder if you're talking about the 10 by 10 challenge.
Oh, yeah, probably.
For a while. Yeah, that was Leigh Vosburg.
Yes.
Her handle was Style Bee.
Yes.
Yeah, and I did that one too. And that one was much easier. I mean, it was 10 days.
Yeah.
You know, 10 items, 10 days. I don't remember if she included shoes or whatever. But I always felt like all of those challenges, it was really hard to just get the items. Like, how did you figure out what items to use? And so I did eventually kind of create my own challenge. There were really no rules. It was just like 5 steps to get you to the point where you could curate a selection of clothing. Because yeah, no one was really saying like, here's how you do this. Like, how do you figure out what you need, you know?
Yeah, that's actually a lot of labor.
Yeah. Like, what if you live in an apartment where you don't have a washing machine and, like, the thing you want to use is in the laundry and you don't make it to the laundromat?
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Lots of logistical challenges.
I just remember trying to find the 33 items and feeling like I was just being aware of not having enough things. There was some blog I was writing. This was so long ago. This was like early 2000s. And I remember someone commenting and being like, a lot of your shirts look really ratty.
Oh my God, like, how rude.
Like, it was like, I was clearly at a point where, like, I think I was on a very tight budget. I didn't have a lot of new clothes. Like, I kind of needed more clothes. And so, like, the idea of winnowing down was not what I needed. Like, I needed a budget to go shopping and replace some, like, really worn out stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to wear this, like, super pilled, stretched out shirt for 3 months or whatever. I don't know. It brings up a lot.
Well, even with the, like, 10 by 10 thing, it felt like your 10 items all had to be these, like, beautiful, clean, minimalist, like, Elizabeth Suzanne tops and bottoms.
Mm-hmm. And not that we don't love Elizabeth Suzanne.
No, no, yeah. No hate at all. But it didn't feel like most people were doing it. And one of the items was like the Old Navy shirt I've had for 3 years that I probably wear every week.
Yeah, well, that was really the height of the, like, unrealistic Instagram pretty photos.
Yes, right?
And that was kind of what you were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And everything's going to go with everything and fit together sort of Tetris style. I mean, mm-hmm. We can link to the piece I wrote on capsule wardrobes and how they make my brain hurt. Because even if on a flat lay, these pieces seem to go really well together, when I put them on my body, I don't like how they go together. You know, like, mm-hmm. It doesn't feel as comfortable or something.
Well, that's an interesting point, because it's almost like that was more for external consumption than for you actually doing what worked for you, which is the opposite of what we want to try and do. Like, for instance, Virginia, the way that you realized, you know, 2 days in, like, actually, I need more clothes, not less. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of thing that we want people to be open to. I work with a lot of women, and half of the women have too many clothes and half the women have not enough clothes. And they're both having trouble getting dressed. Yeah. So you may fall on one camp or the other.
Do you ever find someone has a ton of clothes, but once you really go through it, they actually don't have enough clothes?
99% of the time. They're holding on to things from a past self, a past body, you know, working on that journey to body neutrality or body acceptance, but takes a lot of energy to get there. So that is a huge piece of it.
Yeah, I bet.
We were kind of curious too to chat a little bit about why are we attracted to this concept? And I think it's because it is kind of selling us some sort of lifestyle that's unattainable or that's aspirational, I guess. And like we were just saying with the 10 by 10, it was like, curate this pretty thing and you'll get a lot of likes. I think that's really something that does attract humans to these type of things. What do you guys think?
It feels like it'll reduce decision fatigue because everything in your closet will work. That is always very attractive to me.
Yeah, which is not necessarily the case, obviously.
I think some of the appeal does feel kind of diety. It feels like if you do this challenge, then somehow you'll have like the perfect closet where everything will go together and you won't have too much stuff. You'll have exactly the right amount and nothing will be like the three-year-old Old Navy shirt that's ratty.
Yeah.
I think I always think it's going to make me shop less too. Mm. I feel like shopping less is like a perpetual thing I think I should be doing.
Yeah.
And that somehow these challenges, I mean, a lot of them because they are about minimalism and examining consumption, but I feel like they've only ever made me shop more, which feels very similar to the dieting cycles that a lot of us have been on.
Yeah, yeah, like you'll be perfectly satisfied with what you have in your closet for the only time.
And like, how long can that be sustained? Like,
yeah,
6 weeks maybe?
I think something that frustrated me about especially those longer challenges was it didn't allow for like being human. Mm-hmm. Didn't allow for like, oh, the weather is totally different than I expected it would be over these 3 months. Global warming, or, you know, my body's changed, or I got a new job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Stuff changes and our wardrobes are constantly evolving and adapting. And it doesn't feel like that's okay sometimes with these restrictions.
Yeah, it doesn't allow for being a human or living in the world. Like, doesn't take into account like your body or your environment.
Yeah.
Or like capitalism, where we just want to shop all the time.
On the flip side, I will say, you know, one thing, I think particularly the shorter versions of these things, I do think they can really bring you a sense of awareness of what you actually wear and what you might need. That's hard to see when you're looking at your whole closet of potentially hundreds of items every day. I always viewed it as like an exercise. Like, this is an exercise I'm going to go through and see what I get out of it. You know, maybe things are great. Maybe I actually don't have the pair of work from home pants, the soft pants that I need, you know, mm-hmm. and through this, you know, few days, I've realized like, oh, I'm really uncomfortable. I should rectify that.
I think what you're getting at, DC, is part of what appealed to all of us. Just having a chance to like tune in a little bit more to how things are feeling rather than using this as an opportunity to find some type of closet perfection.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about collecting data and the inherently non-judgmental. The goal isn't to have a perfect Instagram flat lay at the end of this or at the beginning of this. The goal is to understand what's working and not working in your closet and like how to make your clothes work for you better than achieving some arbitrary style definition.
Yeah, for sure. We are all really committed to the idea that this is to be adapted for you. There's not anything you have to do every day. There's not anything that you have to follow necessarily. We have a vague, you know, outline or some parameters. I'm in the middle of doing the Body Trust certification process with Hillary and Dana from the Center for Body Trust. And one of their like foundational tenets is to do C work. And I think that that's what we want anyone listening to do. You know, we're going to give you some parameters. Yeah, I know. I know. It's hard for those recovering / current perfectionists out there. Yes.
Wait, I don't even understand what C work means.
Like, oh, I'm
like
sorry.
Like A, B, C?
Yes, okay. Like the letter grade C. Okay. Yeah, so do mediocre work and do like a mediocre white man would do and just, you know.
That's profound.
Like, I'm working very hard right now and not caring about my children's grades and not passing on my childhood grade obsessions. So yeah, this is useful yeah. work.
All right, so we're going to try to do C work.
C work. Yeah. Former A students, it's going to be okay. We got this.
Should we get into the logistics? Do we want to?
Yeah, Corinne, okay. You want to talk us through it?
So the challenge is going on for 3 weeks. We're going to start April 15th. And the idea is that every day you will get dressed, or most days you will get dressed, and you will try to lightly document that. And then each week we'll have kind of a prompt to get you thinking and reflecting a little bit on your clothes, on your closet. And the overall idea is that it's less about rules and more about observing and noticing how your clothes feel and how they are or are not serving you. And then on Fridays in our newsletters and on Instagram, you will get each of us sharing some photos and some reflections on how it's going for us, and then hopefully chatting about it in the comments. And we will also put all of this info in an image in the show notes and on Instagram.
So each week we've come up with a prompt or a theme. So Daisy, why don't you explain week one?
Sure. So our theme for the first week is to reject style rules. This is just, again, something that you'll want to think about when you're getting dressed during that week. And like Corinne said, this does not have to be an everyday kind of thing. Some days you are excited to participate and some days, you know, you have a sick kid at home or you're sick yourself, whatever the case may be. So we want to think about rejecting style rules. I think we all know kind of what some of those rules are, but, you know, Virginia's favorite, the horizontal stripe, you know, is supposed to not flatter you. And we can talk about flattering as well. Some other things, you know, we're not supposed to show our bellies. We're supposed to potentially wear certain colors or certain pants lengths for different people of different heights. There's just, they go on and on and on. Also, defining the waist is, you know, one of those huge ones.
I feel like these are like both universal and everyone has those like 2 or 3 or 10 rules that they've like really internalized. Like they've been told, I should not wear X. So I feel like it's maybe fun / terrifying to think about like what is something you were told you should never wear and could you wear that this week and see how it felt. And maybe you only wear it in the comfort of your living room and the privacy of your own home, but that's fine, you know, like, or maybe you wear it to like parent-teacher conferences in front of the whole town. You do you. Like, what is your level of adventurousness with this? I have personally found, and I'm sure you guys can relate, like when I do break a style rule, it is sometimes very uncomfortable and scary. And I often end up discovering something I really like. Like, I mean, I didn't wear horizontal stripes for a long time. I look adorable. And like, it just is a fact.
Yes, you do.
Thank you.
I was trying to think of what I would like to challenge. And one thing I was thinking was like, okay, what I feel like I can't wear like a crop top. But then I was like, I also just crop tops don't feel comfortable to me. Like, I feel like I'm just going to be like yanking on it. So
yanking
like, I feel like that's not a good one for me. But one that felt like a little more doable was like, I feel like I have a rule in my head that I'm like, if I'm wearing like a big oversized shirt, then I'm wearing like more narrow pants or like a tighter top or bigger pants. And I was like, what if I wore the bigger pants with the bigger shirt?
Ooh,
it's probably going to be comfortable.
I am sure. Yeah, that's a really good one.
You're right. That proportions thing is in our heads, and proportions is totally code for makes you look thinner or makes you look more like hourglass, whatever.
And just to kind of even underline it further, like there are plenty of quote influencers and people making style content where they are wearing oversized top and bottom, but they are generally very thin.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So it's pushing the boundaries to do that if you're not in that type of body.
Totally.
Daisy, talk a little more about the like defining, the sort of like paradox of the defined waist. Like that feels like a big one.
If we had to trace it all the way back, of course, we'd go back to Sabrina Strings and Fearing the Black Body and all the history that she relays in that book. But, you know, essentially that was decided that an hourglass silhouette was the ideal shape for people's bodies. And pretty much since then, we've been trying to create the illusion of that shape ever since through clothes and fashion. And, you know, it's not comfortable. Like having a cinched-in waist requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of discomfort, you know, which is all to me related to, you know, occupying women with these sort of things so that they are not able to, you know, use their brain space for bigger ideas. I wrote a piece about some of the stuff that people learned from What Not to Wear recently. And that was really the biggest one that everyone kind of mentioned that they took away from that show. And yeah, I'm ready to let that one go.
The queer eye, the French tuck. Thing I feel like gets back to that, which you also recently were writing about.
Yes.
Yeah. And when you think about those tucking like rules or suggestions or whatever they are explicitly for the purpose of creating that proportion, right? Because what people always say is like, if you tuck, then your legs look longer or X, Y, Z. And again, it's about creating this illusion. And why can't our bodies just be the length that they are? You know what I mean?
And on the flip side, I just want to say like, for those of us without defined waists on our bodies, wearing something with a waist can also feel radical. I feel like I was often steered away from things with a waist because it was like, you don't go in enough. So wear like an empire waist or wear like, you know, like show off your legs, like wear a miniskirt and show, you know, and like just like let it be sort of amorphous on top.
Yeah, well, that leads me to thinking about this kind of vague style rule, which is always emphasize the smallest part of your body.
Yeah.
Right. So for you, that might have been above the stomach, and that's where you were supposed to emphasize. But yeah, we don't need to. We don't have to emphasize any part of our body if we don't want to.
Yeah, that's interesting. I haven't decided what rules. I mean, obviously, I've already done the work on horizontal stripes, so I guess that one doesn't count for me next week. I'm just wearing them again every day.
I think for you, Virginia, it's the non-skinny jeans. It's
I knew you were going to say that.
With
the proportion thing. Ooh, with boots.
Ugh. It's the wide leg jeans with boots. But another one I was thinking about that I think would be a challenge and would also still be like comfortable would be like wearing sweatpants out of the house.
I like that.
Wear my joggers out of the house. My Beyond Yoga joggers. Do those count as sweatpants?
Yeah. I think that's for you to decide.
Good answer.
I do hear you on the wide leg jeans. So the backstory is on recent Indulgence Gospels, we have talked about how Corinne converted me to the Universal Standard straight leg jeans, and I do really like them. But earlier today, I had to be in photos, and we had a plan. The three of us had a plan that I was going to wear those jeans. And at the last minute, I texted Daisy. I didn't even text Corinne because I knew she'd yell at me. I texted Daisy, and I was like, I can't do it. I'm in my skinny jeans for the photos. And Yeah, it was like, do I look too sloppy? Are these like saggy in a weird way that I have no control over? And I feel like for something like having your picture taken, like wear the pants, you're not going to feel like you're only thinking about your pants. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Like I didn't want to be like hiking them up in every shot. But it is maybe something I could look at this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll get into week two in a second. And that's all about kind of honoring that feeling that you had, Virginia. I think a lot about familiarity, right? Like, and I think a lot about that with trends. And you guys might know I have a background in classical music. And I think about like pieces of classical music a lot, right? Like if there's something that's more modern, you've never heard it before, it can be really jarring. And you're just like, oh, I don't like this. But if you hear Mozart or Beethoven, it's familiar. Mm. And so you like it. And I think that way with clothes, like dating myself, I remember when skinny jeans came out. I remember specifically talking to my friend saying, I'm never wearing skinny jeans.
Same.
And because it was new and unfamiliar. And then we got familiar with it. And so, you know, if you kind of just wear those pants a lot for this first week, perhaps they will become more familiar. And the more familiar they become, it may be something that you end up liking or not.
I hear that. That does seem really valuable. I think you're totally right that it's like those rules I was told of like emphasize your legs. So wearing baggy things on the bottom, I'm like, that was what I was told not to do. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm going to do that work. What about you, Daisy? What rules are you still holding on to?
I think for me, the biggest one is just having a visible belly. So in a way, it kind of is like what you were saying, Virginia, about like sometimes defining your waist is the thing that is pushing yourself, because my body's changed a lot over the last 5-ish years, and that's something I'm still a bit uncomfortable with.
I'm excited for all of us to be in our discomfort next week.
Yeah.
Except Corinne, who's wearing very large clothes.
Yeah, I'm going to be wearing baggy stuff and sweatpants in public.
All right. So week two, however, we are calling Honor Your Comfort. And this, I think, is where I wanted us to explore the idea of a safe outfit. And I think there's a couple of different ways to think about safety and clothes, right? Like, it is true that going out as a fat person, there is safety in being put together and polished and not in your sweatpants. Like, you are going to be treated better in a lot of context if you put in that effort. And so that's something to explore and understand, but also, is that physically comfortable and feeling physically safe on your body, or is it you're putting yourself into something super constrictive and physically uncomfortable in order to achieve that like social safety or emotional safety? So my thinking here is that we'll just play with it. When you think safe, comfy outfit, what does that mean for you?
I was wondering, do either of you guys have safe outfits now? Like, do you have an outfit you would consider like your safe outfit?
I mean, I think I put it on for the photo shoot this morning.
Yeah.
Skinny jeans
and a sweater.
And like a bright colored sweater.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's just my softest, comfiest clothes, like the thing that you would want to put on when you're sick and you just feel terrible and you just need that comfort. So in a very like literal sense, in the past, like if I had to go do a talk or do something like that, people were going to be potentially and certainly judging me, then there's a different safety in that, like you were saying, Virginia. So I think it's a good thing for people to kind of explore during this second week, which is like physical comfort and then like kind of psychic comfort. And you've already mentioned it, but yeah, just putting this out there that there are many people in marginalized identities who do not feel safe to dress the way that they would prefer out in the world. And so we want to kind of acknowledge that in this week of the challenge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I was also thinking a lot about kind of the balance between like what feels physically comfortable and what feels more like emotionally or mentally comfortable. I was thinking about like probably some jeans and like a sweatshirt, but you know, sometimes that doesn't really feel like presentable enough.
I think the way we set this up is lovely because, you know, in the first week, we're really kind of trying to challenge some of those things. I'm personally not a huge fan of feeling like you have to go outside your comfort zone. I have issues with that, but maybe you push the boundaries on the first week a little bit. And then week two is about like reflecting and saying like, oh, I felt really uncomfortable when I did that. How can I feel more comfortable during this particular week?
And maybe it'll help us all push a little harder in week one if it's like, you can go back to the womb of whatever the safe thing is in the next week. Because some people might be like, I don't feel comfortable in any of my clothes right now. Mm-hmm. And that's a very valid place to be. Mm-hmm. So making an entire week where you're really just like looking at your closet and thinking like, well, what does feel comfy? What does feel good?
Yeah.
And kind of giving those clothes their due, because especially if it is like the thing that you wear when you're sick or just lying around the house, like maybe you don't think of it as like an outfit or presentable, but like it's doing really valuable work in your closet.
Yes, I really want to emphasize that too, because I can't tell you how many times I've worked with someone and I ask them, you know, what are their like hopes for our work together? And they're like, you know, I just wear leggings and sweats every day. I just want to. And then once we get talking, it's like, oh, but that's what works for you. I really think we have this. It's almost a style rule in itself where it's like you can't wear comfy clothes outside the house. I think there's always still this feeling that you are not, quote, getting dressed when actually you are. Mm-hmm. And that's what is functional for you and can be functional for you. So that's just something else to think about. And then I wanted to piggyback off what Corinne was saying. She was kind of saying like what her outfit would be. And I think it's interesting also to just maybe during this week, tap into how you feel each morning. And, you know, maybe that day you're not going to want to wear the sweatshirt and jeans and something else will feel better.
It can really vary.
Yeah. I also kind of like the idea of having like a safe outfit uniform where you're like, okay, if my safe outfit is like a sweatshirt and jeans, it's like how many, I don't know, different ways could I wear that or like different combos.
And maybe that's a note about like, I mean, I know we're going to talk about shopping in a minute, but like if you are going to add to your wardrobe, like once you've identified some elements of a safe uniform, maybe you need two pairs of jeans that you like how they fit, you know?
Yeah.
And like, that's a place to expand so that you have those options.
The one other thing I wanted to mention in this week is something I've been realizing recently is like, I have, and we sort of have talked about this in a past Burnt Toast, and I feel like I've maybe changed my stance. So I've realized I have my favorite Universal Standard jeans in two different sizes, and like they both fit, but sometimes I just want to wear the baggier ones, and sometimes I want to wear the tighter ones.
Absolutely.
And it's not like I need to get rid of one because one is too small or one is too big. And like that was for a while, I had like put one pair away and been like, this is not my size anymore. And then I like probably like right before my period, I was having a day and I was like, I really need some like loose jeans.
Yeah.
And I got back out the bigger ones and was like, yeah, these still fit and I still like these.
I love that so much. I have had people where they regularly keep two sizes of something in their closet. We're always told like, get rid of anything you know, that you have duplicates of, or maybe that doesn't fit. But our bodies, many of us fluctuate throughout the month, right?
Totally.
And sometimes a lot. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people have kind of like stomach issues and things like that. And yeah, exactly. Some days you need one and some days you need the other.
Yeah. And it's like, yes, like you have a size, but it's like more of a range. And like, it doesn't need to be like you only wear jeans in this size.
I mean, if we've learned nothing from Daisy, it's that sizing is bullshit. And if Universal Standard hadn't called both of those the Etta jeans or whatever, like you own other pants that are not the same pants in different sizes and you don't expect them because you know you're a range, but it's just because they were sold as the same pants. But we know jean science, we know from the way jeans are manufactured, like they can make a whole stack of jeans and they do not come out uniformly.
Totally.
So it's not surprising that, you know, different sizes in the same style might work differently with your body.
Yeah. And then in the last week of the challenge, the last week we're calling gentle reflection. And I think we're hoping to kind of integrate some of the rejecting style rules while finding safety and comfort in clothing and just taking some time to think about what pieces in your closet are working for you and what are not.
I'm realizing as we're talking about this that I'm already hoping to find the unicorns of the outfits that are both rejecting a style rule and physically and emotionally comfortable. Like I'm trying to capsule wardrobe it.
Are you already trying to get an A+ when you should be aiming for a C?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm just saying 100%. It out loud. That's not where you have to go with this. But
exactly.
Maybe you'll find one outfit like that. I don't know. Maybe you will. Maybe you won't.
I wonder if that's possible in one outfit. Yeah,
it's a lot to ask.
It's a lot
to ask from one outfit. It's funny that my brain was immediately like, oh, because we're going to check every box and then it's all going to come together. Don't listen to me. This is not the goal.
Hopefully more of just a chance to like reflect on what feels comfortable, what feels like something we want to be wearing more of.
Yeah, and how you can really kind of put that into practice maybe during the last week.
That seems more useful. Should we talk about some other things we're not going to make people do? One, first up, I would say is that repeating outfits is fine and encouraged. If you're finding something on Monday that you're loving for that week's theme, like, you don't have to reject a different style rule.
Well, repeating outfits could be rejecting a style rule.
Excellent. There you
absolutely.
Go.
Absolutely.
There you go. That. You've already done the assignment.
Yeah.
A plus.
Yeah.
Wearing dirty pants.
Yeah. So that's when we can all wear dirty clothes for 3 weeks. That's fine.
I mean, I'm on like day 5 of my 7-day trip here. So my shirt definitely has like salad dressing on it.
If I ever find jeans that don't stretch out after 3 wearings, I would gladly wear them for 5 days. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen. We should also talk about how we want to think about shopping during this time. So, mm-hmm. Daisy, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so a lot of those challenges that we mentioned earlier had a shopping ban during the time that you were doing the challenge. And we are not going to tell you not to shop for these 3 weeks. We're calling it a little pause, perhaps, if you would like to pause on buying things during this time. I think this is a really good tool to help you become aware of that impulse to buy. And sometimes, you know, you may discover that what you want to buy is exactly what you're missing. Like maybe in week one, you've already figured out like, oh, I really need this one thing. And in that case, go ahead. You've come to that purchase from a place of thoughtfulness and functionality. But yeah, otherwise, we want to just maybe notice those urges, notice where they're coming from. You know, are they coming from an influencer? Are they coming from social media, marketing, ads, emails? Yeah, so it's just, again, kind of an awareness. And you don't have to go one way or the other with it.
The way I was thinking about that is if I was like, oh, shoot, I really need like a new specific pair of socks, then I'm obviously going to buy them, but I'm going to try not to just be like, ooh, cool shirt, add to cart.
Yeah. How about you, Virginia?
I mean, what I'll say about shopping is I have found Daisy's suggestion of keeping a Pinterest board of things you want to purchase super helpful because it satisfies that like, ooh, I want that. Like,
yeah,
you know, little dopamine hit that I need.
The add to cart feeling.
Like, yeah, it's the add to cart feeling. Exactly.
It's that little quick hit of dopamine when you add something to cart. I was thinking I might just make like a list in the notes app of every time I was like feeling that urge.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because notes like puts timestamps. So
that's true.
I would be able to really look at how often it's like, I can't fall asleep and I'm looking yeah. at my phone too late. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or yeah, there's probably some interesting like underlying trigger that makes me like crave online shopping at certain points. That
yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I want to look at that. That might be more than this challenge needs.
Just gathering yeah. information.
Yeah,
exactly.
Totally.
Just gathering information. I do both. I keep a running wish list on my phone mm. and then I will pin things. But that's really helpful for when you do need to buy something. You kind of have a list of stuff to buy instead of kind of flailing wildly on the internet.
So then I think to wrap up, Corinne, you were just going to talk a little bit about like what kind of documentation we're thinking would be helpful for this.
Part of the challenge is kind of doing a little observation of like how things feel. And I think that could either look like taking a picture of what you're wearing, like taking a quick little snap in the mirror or doing a little self-timer photo. You could also just write it down in the notes app, like be like, I'm wearing my universal standard shirt and jeans and it feels good, or the jeans feel too tight, or like the shirt is riding up or something like that. You could also make notes about like if you put something on and then decide this doesn't feel good and end up taking it off. And yeah, then also just notes about if you're feeling the urge to shop or the urge to buy something.
Mm, yeah, super helpful. I am excited. I think this is going to be very informative. Yeah. I mean, Daisy, I feel like you are like varsity level on this sort of thing, but I'm also really curious what you'll observe. I'm curious for all three of our journeys.
I just was going to ask if either of you had like other ideas about how you're going to kind of document or reflect on stuff.
I think I'm going to do photos or videos, mm-hmm. ironically. Being a writer, I'm like, oh, writing it all down sounds hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Video is a good idea because you can kind of talk in the video
yeah.
and say, I
Ooh.
Like this part, I don't like this part. Yeah, I'll probably do a fair amount of that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I think that would be really fun. But obviously we want as many people who are up for it to join us as possible and like do it in whatever way works. If you don't like some part of this, like we can't stress enough that this is not meant to be hard or restrictive. So you make it your own.
Sounds good.
All right. Should we do butter?
Yes. So my butter is something that I'm scared of wearing, which is color. And so my butter is the colors red and blue in my wardrobe, which they have not existed in my wardrobe in at least 15 years, probably.
Wow.
And I have just been craving, like speaking of Pinterest, like I've just been pinning all these images with this like bright cobalt blue and this bright kind of tomatoey red. And I just love, it's just really like sparking some sort of excitement in me. However, I am very, very uncomfortable wearing color. And so for the moment, I have purchased myself a blue bag and some red, the kind of rubber Birkenstocks.
I love those.
Yeah. And so it's both very attractive to me and also kind of terrifying.
I consider a red shoe to be a neutral. I feel strongly about that. So it's basically not a color if you come from my world.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. You are where I am on non-skinny jeans.
Yeah.
Like you are very comfortable. I am not, and vice versa.
And ironically, you helped me get comfortable with a lot of colors.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, I love this too, Daisy, because Virginia and I were talking recently about the color me beautiful thing, where I feel the past couple years I got brainwashed into feeling like I could only wear like soft summer. And now I'm like, you know what? I love black.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can break that rule all week one.
You wear all the colors. Yep.
Okay. My butter is the shirt I'm wearing, which is a men's Abercrombie & Fitch shirt.
I love it. I did notice it.
Thank you. I want to endorse knits because of the nature of knit fabric. The sizing is a lot more flexible. And also like looking at knits in the men's department, because like this is like an XXL or whatever, which is not my normal size. And then also because it's men's, it's like longer. Like I was looking at like some sort of like button down knit top from Anthropologie that was plus size, and like they have a 3X, but like I was like, oh, it's gonna be too short. So yeah, I'm recommending knits in general for fat people, and then also looking for them in the men's section.
That is fantastic advice. I love it.
Yeah, that is really good intel.
I have this one, and I also just got one from Old Navy that I also really like. So,
we'll link to both of those.
Yeah.
And my butter is also a fashion thing. They are my new New Balance sneakers. I'm on a perpetual quest for the sneaker that is like both cute and comfortable, because that's so rarely not the same sneaker. And these are really like threading a lot of needles.
I love them. I have something similar pinned, but right now, again, I'm trying to inject color into my accessories.
Right.
So you guys will see the link, but they're like an off-white with a little bit of like a kind of peachish accent color.
They're a little like subtle for me, honestly. but I am finding them very versatile for that reason. And they do go with my giant straight leg jeans. I did wear them out to brunch, no less, this weekend.
Mm. Wow.
That's very daring.
I'm growing as a person. Yes. Thank you. And all the other women there were in skinny jeans.
And just to be very clear, if you want to wear your skinny jeans till the end of time, you have that permission. Yeah.
Yes. But if you're holding on to them because you are working through some other barriers, then we can all together free our calves next week and explore that. All right. Well, this was a great episode. I am so psyched about the challenge and where we all go with this. And we will have Daisy back on next month so we can do like a, you know, what are sports terms, post-game analysis or whatever they do in those worlds.
A follow-up?
And that would
debrief.
Be better. Thank you.
A debrief?
For useful words. Today's Indulgence Gospel was produced and hosted by Corinne, Daisy, and me. You can follow Corinne at Sell Trade Plus. Daisy is at Mindful Closet and her Substack newsletter, Unflattering. And I am V_Soldsmith on Instagram.
The Burnt Toast logo is by Deanna Lowe. Our theme music is by Jeff Bailey and Chris Maxwell. And Tommy Heron is our audio engineer. Thanks for listening and supporting Anti-Diet Body Liberation Journalism.